You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're going to figure out what exactly went wrong against the New England Patriots. It wasn't just one side of the ball that made mistakes out there. So we're going to break down the special teams and the two touchdowns that the Bears allowed. We'll break down the offense and Mitchell Trubisky's performance, and also what happened defensively and how Tom Brady was able to, once again, put up a lot of points for this Patriots offense. To get us going here, let's go to a voicemail from the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. 312-620-8590 is the number if you'd like to join in on the conversation right here on this podcast.
Oh, Orlando. Well, it sucked to lose to the Patriots. I thought we had a lot of good things out there on the field today. Apart from most of Mitch's long balls, I thought he had a solid game, as did most of the offense. Defense, you know, definitely didn't show as many missed tackles this week as last week, which is a positive as well. You know, when it comes down to it, we lost by 7 points, and we gave them 14 free points on special teams alone. So, you know, I guess that's the phase of the game we got to really look at carefully. But offense and defense played fairly well this week against the Patriots team, obviously missing Gronkowski. But other than that, that's definitely a formidable force. So while I'm disappointed that we lost, I'm happy about things to come. Thanks, Lauren. Take care.
Now, his name cut out at the beginning there, but it was Josh from Orlando. And thanks, Josh, for calling into the show. I can appreciate your optimism even after a loss like this, but I have to disagree about the offense and the defense. I was thoroughly disappointed on both sides of the ball there, but I want to start with special teams because we don't get to talk a lot of special teams on this podcast, and I like to go into it a little bit in depth here and kind of explain what went wrong on the blocked punt and the kickoff return touchdown. And if you can survive a segment of special teams talk, there will be offense and defense analysis to pay off at the end. Let's start with the blocked punt, since that happened first. If you follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1, I tweeted out early in that second quarter, the Patriots were getting closer and closer to blocking a Pat O'Donnell punt. I thought it was coming. It came, and it clearly, I guess, not enough of an adjustment from the Bears to prepare for the heat that the Patriots kept sending after them. I mean, at the end of the day, it was 8 guys rushing the punter and 8 blockers there for Pat O'Donnell. So the Bears had enough guys in there. But what it looked like to me, and again, I haven't been able to look at the All-22 tape yet, I saw Dont'a Hightower completely just run over Ben Bronicker. I mean, Bronicker ends up on his back, and he doesn't really slow down Hightower at all, and Hightower just keeps running and blocks the punt. And it's hard to tell from the broadcast angle and the replays whether or not maybe Broniker's foot got caught up on another teammate who was a blocker and he just lost his balance that way because he couldn't get his feet down, or if Hightower just did indeed bully him. But one way or another, Ben Broniker was responsible for the man who blocked the punt, so he's going to get the bulk of the blame there. You know, people, I think, were quick to try and blame Pat O'Donnell himself for supposedly holding onto the ball too long. And I'm here to tell you today that that's really not the case. You know, I work for Pro Football Focus, and you might be surprised to find out that that is one of the things we track. Special teams coaches are very, very interested in how long does the long snapper take to snap the ball to the punter, and how long does the punter take to actually punt the darn thing. And this season, the Bears average 2.06 seconds from the snap of the ball to the ball hitting O'Donnell's foot on the punt. 2.06 seconds. That is the fifth fastest time from snap to punt of any special teams unit in the NFL. On that specific play, Pat O'Donnell had the ball a little bit longer than normal. It was like 2.045 seconds, give or take. But he's had many longer already this season and last season. Against Green Bay, for example, he had three of them that were a good quarter of a second longer. And when you're talking about rushing the punts, it can really be the difference between a tenth of a second between blocking and getting it off. So he has gotten faster overall as the season has gone on, but the speed at which he was able to punt that ball was not the reason it was blocked. I see Ben Broniker getting run over as culprit number one. Then with the kickoff return later on in the game, the 95-yard touchdown by Cordarrelle Patterson, it really looked to me like a just complete coverage breakdown. And yes, when a team gives a 95-yard return, it always is a coverage breakdown. But more particularly, it's not just, you know, a guy makes four missed tackles and then runs away to the end zone. If you go back and watch the kickoff return, you'll see Patterson catches the ball right about at the numbers where they're printed on the field as far as width, and he doesn't really have to veer very far from that path. For some reason, you know, that's a pretty outside position for Patterson. And for some reason, you see six Bears coverage defenders run across the face of Patterson to the outside of even that wide outside area of the field where he caught the ball. And so all of a sudden, more than half of your coverage unit is already to the smallest side of the field, the wide side from Patterson. And that's even before Patterson gets to the 15-yard line. Like, he's taken, I think, 10 yards of running, and you already have six Bears defenders already to the outside of him, leaving a ton of space to the inside, to the direction of the middle of the field. And so you see him just run pretty much straight forward in a straight line at the width of the numbers, and then Kevin Tolliver comes into the hole. He jukes Kevin Tolliver, and then there was no one left because they were all, or mostly, back to the outside of the numbers instead of the inside of the field where all the space was. So it was really Kevin Tolliver as the last man standing. Once that tackle was missed, it's just a race to the end zone. I posted a couple pictures of how that play broke down using the replay from the broadcast. I posted those on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. If you're not a member, just go on to Facebook, search Locked On Bears group and request to be added, or you can find it just by going to the Locked On Bears Facebook page and clicking the button right on there will take you to the group. You can kind of see how much of the coverage was stacked up to the outside and how it was really kind of broken down to one man, one guy to beat. Kevin Tolliver, the undrafted rookie free agent. Patterson makes the juke, outruns the kicker, and it's a 95-yard special teams breakdown. And ultimately, those two touchdowns were more or less the difference in the game. I think there's a lot more blame to go around, but you talk about a 14-point swing of more or less free plays for the Patriots, that can really change the game. I mean, I think that's a big reason why you saw the point total for this game just continue to go up. I mean, they definitely hit the over we talked about last week on mybookie.ag, set at 49 for this game. And when the Patriots have scored 38-plus in each of their last four games now, and I think betting the over is the smart play. The smart place to place that bet is mybookie.ag. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we recommend MyBookie as one of the highest rated online sports books. It's easy to use. They got a great mobile site and lots of rewarding player perks as well. They'll reward you right now for going on to MyBookie and making your first deposit. If you just use the promo code LOCKEDON, they will match it dollar for dollar, giving you double the money to lay down and win big. MyBookie has tons of different ways to play, tons of different wagers to place, and you'll get double the money to lay down on your sports knowledge with that Locked On promo code. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, I'll explain why Mitchell Trubisky's box score stats are really deceiving compared to his performance, and we'll wrap up with a look at how this defense once again looked like a shell of itself against Tom Brady. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So as we look back over another Bears loss here, I know everyone wants to find you know, the positives from Mitchell Trubisky and talk yourself into a lot of the good things he did. And it wasn't all bad for Mitch, and we'll get to that. But I couldn't help but watch this performance and really be disappointed after a lot of the growth we had seen from him in the last couple weeks. This, to me, was a step back. This was much more like Green Bay and Arizona Mitchell Trubisky than Tampa Bay and Miami Mitchell Trubisky, at least from a passing standpoint, because the legs and the scrambling was a lot of phenomenal plays, and that is your quarterback making plays for your offense when they needed it. He finished as your leading rusher. He had that really nice 8-yard rushing touchdown scramble. I mean, a lot of good things with his legs that the Patriots weren't able to defend very well. But from a passing standpoint, telling you, this box score really does not tell the story. I mean, yes, you look at it and you see a barely over 50% completion percentage, and that should raise a red flag for anybody just looking at the numbers. But you see 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and, you know, that's not terrible when from a pure number standpoint. But on a throw-to-throw basis, this was one of his worst performances of his young career, really. The Patriots knew the formula for stopping Trubisky and getting into his head. They blitzed him a lot, and it worked. And that's kind of what we expected. That's what we talked about last week on our game plan podcast, getting ready for this one. And, you know, the offensive line wasn't that bad, particularly in pass protection. The Patriots just pretty well overloaded them, sent too many rushers, or, you know, were able to create certain stunts and blitzes that, you know, maybe it was still a 5-man rush, but too many guys come into one side of the line where you just don't have enough blockers. And you saw Trubisky panic. You saw Trubisky rush a lot of throws. You saw his mechanics go out the window. You saw 2 interceptions and 2 other dropped interceptions. You saw missed touchdowns all over the field. Everybody wants to crap on Josh Bellamy, and I get it. He's a frustrating wide receiver, but this kid had 2 touchdowns that he was open for. There was the one in the end zone when he's breaking to the sideline and Trubisky overthrows him. He's open on that play, and an accurate quarterback throws that ball. It's touchdown Josh Bellamy. Then you come back later in the game. Josh Bellamy streaking down the right sideline. Trubisky gets under pressure. The mechanics go out the window. He chucks it up, completely underthrows it. Josh Bellamy has to come back and fight for it. Loses it in the sun a little bit. It falls incomplete. But if your quarterback throws it accurately and hits your wide receiver in stride, it's an easy touchdown. Josh Bellamy won his routes twice that should have been touchdowns, and the accuracy of the throw prevented both of them from being touchdowns. So I don't have a problem with Josh Bellamy getting snaps when he continues to get open like that. It was just more about the quarterback not being able to find him. Now, to Mitch Trubisky's credit, you know, I think people will point out some drop passes. I think PFF will credit the Bears with 3 offensively, and there were a couple others that maybe should have been caught but weren't necessarily true drop passes but were accurate enough to be catchable by Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, even if you kind of give him credit for those, you're still looking at a sub 60% completion percentage. And it wasn't as though they were dropping touchdowns. It was a little curl route to Deion Sims that was dropped. I think Anthony Miller might have had one. I mean, it was kind of these little over-the-middle type throws, not anything game-changing that you saw dropped. And, you know, it really took a while for Mitch and this offense to get rolling. I mean, I think it took the Patriots lightening up a little bit in the second half, and they left a lot of that space kind of in the middle of the field. They sat back in some softer coverages, a little bit less aggressive in man-to-man, and blitzing a little bit less in that second half. And then Trey Burton gets going a little bit. And that's a really important connection, and I don't want that to be overlooked in this performance and in this game. That, you know, we've seen Trubisky have those big games to Allen Robinson early on where they develop that connection. And then he gets the big connection downfield to Taylor Gabriel the last couple games, and they're really on the same page. But it took a while for Trey Burton to have that game. Sets a career high in catches and yards, and now you're looking at perhaps a little bit more of a solid understanding between quarterback and tight end. And that's important for the further growth of Trubisky and this offense. But it was still, to me, one of Trubisky's worst games as a starter from a pure passing standpoint. The dropped interceptions, the interceptions he did throw, the missed touchdowns, the just inaccurate throws that should be easy. A lot of it comes from the Patriots blitzing and getting in his head and his mechanics just going out the window. And at some point, your young quarterback needs to take growth in that area. We've seen him grow a little bit in being able to throw downfield in the last couple games, but that's because he's had time to throw, because defenses haven't been blitzing him as much and haven't been pressuring him as much. But so far, he hasn't shown that growth. When the heat is on against the defensive coordinator, that clearly recognizes the best way to defend Mitchell Trubisky. But again, I'm not trying to put this all on Mitch. There were a lot of other things that went wrong in this game. I mean, you start with a running game just from an offensive perspective, but we already talked about the special teams issues as well. I'm just trying to evaluate how this young quarterback is playing. I know some people don't like to hear any criticism of Mitchell Trubisky, but sometimes the truth can be a little bit inconvenient, and this young quarterback just isn't playing very well right now. Didn't play very well against the New England Patriots, but he's still young, and there's a lot of growth still left for Mitchell Trubisky, and we're not completely writing him off anytime soon. And you know, no one's completely writing off the Chicago Bulls just yet, even after an 0-2 start to the NBA season. If you want daily Chicago Bulls news and analysis, in addition to the Bears talk you love right here, then you have to check out Locked On Bulls here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's hosted by Jordan Malley and Matt Peck. They're breaking down all things Chicago Bulls every day, previewing every game, recapping every game, getting the biggest storylines on what's been going on with Jabari Parker and his disappointment, Zach LaVine continuing to emerge, some positives and some negatives there as well. And the guys at Locked On Bulls are the voice of the Chicago Bulls fan. We also have Locked On Cubs, hosted by Sean Sears, getting into the offseason a little bit here with a new hitting coach for those Chicago Cubs. All of your Chicago sports needs, sorry White Sox fans, are available right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Still to come, we look at another disappointing defensive performance that was at least better than what we saw last week against the Miami Dolphins. That's next on Locked On Bears. As we look back over the Bears' loss to the Patriots, it was another game where it just didn't feel like that same weeks 1-4 Chicago Bears defense that had the juice, had the pass rush, it had the playmaking, and it had really the league taking note of them as a potential top unit across the board. And now 2 weeks in a row, Not hearing any of those conversations anymore. And I think for me, it starts and almost ends with this Bears pass rush that Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack, once again, totally ineffective from the outside linebacker position, not producing anywhere near the level you need your outside linebackers to produce. And especially in this Vic Fangio defense, he's always relied on strong outside linebacker pass rushers to get the job done, and they weren't able to do it against the Patriots here. Now, the strategy was a bit different against Tom Brady. Tom Brady, like we talked about, is not a quarterback that you should ever blitz. He is one of the best in the history of the NFL, if we're being honest, at attacking the blitz, dissecting the blitz, figuring out where you're leaving yourself vulnerable because of those extra rushers, and fully taking advantage of it. So what did Vic Fangio do in response? Well, he switched up to a little bit of a different nickel package. The Bears are typically, you know, what's called a 2-4-5 with two defensive linemen, four linebackers, five defensive backs. In this one, they went to a 3-3-5 the majority of the time. Three defensive linemen, three linebackers, and five defensive backs. And when I say the majority of the time, we're talking about, you know, 25 snaps compared to maybe 20 of their more traditional nickel. But it's, I think they would be the only team in the NFL that has run a game this season with more 3-3-5 than a 2-4-5 type nickel package. And so that was a lot less playing time for Roquan Smith as a result. But it was also a lot more coverage from Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack than any other game. The Bears went to a three-man rush to try and take away some of Tom Brady's quick throw ability by dropping eight guys back into coverage. The idea is that when the Patriots, the Patriots' offensive strategy is to throw the ball quicker than almost any other offense so that the ball comes out before the pass rush can even affect Tom Brady, and you take some of those free yards, that a little bit of dink and dunk in there to hopefully then set up bigger plays over the top, and you know, once you mix it in with the running game and some play action and stuff like that. And so, of course, the Patriots went to that and were very effective at it. And the way Fangio attempted to neutralize that is, which is similar to, I mean, I probably would have thought to do something similar, or at least try something similar and see if it worked, is dropping that eighth player into coverage. So maybe you can take away the quick throws to the flats and take away the quick throws over the middle and really force Brady to hold on to the ball longer. And it didn't force Brady to hold on to the ball longer. And I without watching the All-22, it's not easy to sit here and say what exactly went wrong, because it wasn't as though Brady was just picking on one guy in coverage. It wasn't 15 passes all thrown at Bryce Callahan or Roquan Smith or whatever. It was a lot of moving the ball around. And, you know, we know Brady likes the middle of the field, and they went there quite a bit. I mean, he did throw a lot at Roquan and Danny Trevathan, but not one an inordinary more amount than, you know, a typical game where you might see other defenders in coverage. He really did spread the ball around against a lot of different Bears defenders on the back end, and, you know, there weren't very many huge chunk plays. I think the Patriots' longest passing play, you know, went for 55 yards, but a lot of that was after the catch. It was a Josh Gordon play where he kind of broke away downfield, but you saw a lot of Brady just kind of taking the easy plays, and the Patriots picking up a little bit of yards after the catch each time, and it was enough to keep the offense moving. And the Bears never really had a great answer for it. And at least the tackling was a little bit better than it was last week. I mean, last week was so abysmally bad that, you know, it was guaranteed to look better this week, but it still wasn't up to the standard that we had seen through the first four games. There were still too many missed tackles, and they missed 19 last week, and they were almost never going to miss 19 two games in a row. But after they missed only 15 through the first four games combined, I'm no math major, but that's less than four per game, and you come out against the Patriots and still miss seven, it's still not where you want your tackling to be. And there wasn't any one particularly guilty party. It was a lot of just individual guys each missed one, and it all kind of added up to extra yards for the Patriots. And, you know, I don't know how that gets better. I don't know how that gets worse and how that gets better and why it's worse now than it was earlier in the season, but it's something they need to continue to improve on. I will say, though, it wasn't all bad from this Bears defense. And we'll wrap up here with a few of the defensive positives. I mean, the main guy that stands out there is Bilal Nichols, basically emerging as your starting defensive end opposite Akeem Hicks. You look at just from a snap count standpoint, Bilal Nichols outplayed Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris significantly. You're looking at 35 snaps for Nichols, 22 for Bullard, and 16 for Roy Robertson Harris. I mean, still all half of what Akeem Hicks played, but you know, when you're getting in this 3-3-5 nickel instead of your typical two defensive lineman nickel, there were more snaps there for another defensive lineman, and it was Bilal Nichols that got the majority of them. Seemed like he was one of the few guys who could actually get some pressure on the interior, getting after Tom Brady a little bit more, although I thought Eddie Goldman did a pretty good job of collapsing the pocket as well. He's the other guy that really stood out to me as having a good game. And Kyle Fuller gets another interception, and, you know, three now in the last two games, putting himself in a pretty good position to make plays. And, you know, I also thought Adrian Amos bounced back a little bit. He was one of the big tackle missers last week, and he looked very consistent wrapping up. Might have missed one in there, but consistent in coverage and forced that pass breakup that Fuller ended up intercepting, and just kind of back to steady Adrian. So not all bad from this Bears defense. It wasn't all bad from Mitchell Trubisky when you talk about his legs and special teams, maybe a little bit more of that all bad side of the spectrum. But I guess it wasn't bad from Pat O'Donnell from a snap operation time standpoint. So there are positives to take away from this Bears loss. So it's not the end of the world. It's a very, very good New England Patriots team, albeit a New England Patriots team without Rob Gronkowski, which would have made a huge difference in this game otherwise and would have made the deficit, I think, a little bit more. Also lost their top running back during the game, Sony Michel. So it wasn't a full-strength Patriots team, but the Bears were still able to crawl back at the end there. They were not a team that gave up when the Patriots started really taking it to them down the stretch. Trubisky, never lets the mistakes, the interceptions, really spiral out of control. He comes back and drives them down the field for the chance at that late Hail Mary catch by Kevin White. A great catch by Kevin White. I will give him a lot of credit for that. But just can't keep up with the New England Patriots when you make that many mistakes. The Bears now drop to the bottom of the NFC North, tied with the Lions for third and therefore last place. It's a tough stretch right now for this Bears team, but they'll have the opportunity to get it back on track against the New York Jets next week. We'll be right here all week, not only continuing to break down what we saw from the Patriots, but also getting you ready for some Jets-Bears football. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. It's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And I mentioned it already, but don't forget to join in the conversation at the Locked On Bears Facebook group or with the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. It's the best way to keep in touch with the show and get even more out of your podcast listening experience. I know Mondays after a Bears loss can be difficult. It can be hard to get out of bed, hard to go to work, hard to get through your day, but this is a team that was neck and neck with the New England Patriots, not very long removed from the days when the Patriots would completely blow out the Bears and they would have no chance of winning. So it's a franchise headed in the right direction, and I think that's a good enough reason for you to bear down.